Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
He put his team in a position to fail. We'll get to that in just a minute. He is, in fact, Rob Parker. I'm Andy Furman in for Chris Broussard. This is The Odd Couple. And, of course, we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. My guy, Rob Parker, gave the baton to me, and I appreciate that. More than that, I appreciate you having me sit in Chris Broussard's seat tonight. But we're going to talk a little baseball, and honestly, there is no one in America that knows more baseball than you. And you, give me the resume. I mean, the New York Daily News, are you kidding me? The world's largest circulating paper. You covered baseball there in Detroit, in Cincinnati. So we're going to talk a little baseball right now, and I tell you what, I'm going to pick your brain on that as well.
And you know what? It is always a pleasure to work with you, a true radio legend, a guy.
Wait a minute! Since 1991. Wait, back up. The legend thing just means you've been around a long time.
No,
that's
it
all
doesn't.
I mean.
There's a lot of guys who have been around, but they're not legends. But you are indeed Mr. Andy Furman. And the other thing too is, I feel very fortunate. You were just talking about baseball, and I've been fortunate in my career to have worked in some really, really great baseball towns. Mm-hmm. And I've been very, very fortunate. You know, you talk about New York, you talk about Cincinnati, and you talk about Detroit. Those are three, and now I'm in Los Angeles. And I'll tell you this, Andy, you know what I've learned about being out here in Los Angeles? The Dodger fans are good baseball fans. Mm-hmm. I always questioned it. Because, you know, you used to see people show up late.
And leave early.
Leave early, right? And all kinds of stuff. And you look at the empty seats sometimes and you go, where are the people, right? But I get it, Andy. It's crazy here with the traffic normally and driving. But they show up 4 million strong every year. It's a beautiful venue, Chavez Ravine, where Dodger Stadium is, the second oldest stadium in the National League behind Wrigley. People wear their L.A. Dodger hats and their Dodger blue. I'm telling you, I have been converted and changed. Hail to Dodger fans. They are good baseball fans. They care about this team, Andy. They love it.
Give me the pecking order, though. Is it Dodgers-Lakers or Lakers-Dodgers?
Rob G., we need you to chime in. I know everybody says it's
or
the
Clippers.
Lakers. Cause,
or Clippers.
Oh, no, not the Clippers, but because the Lakers have obviously done a lot more winning in the last 20 years than the Dodgers. The Dodgers haven't won a World Series since 1988. But, Rob G., am I wrong about the love for the Dodgers and this area?
Oh, no. I think even the ratings in Los Angeles, game one of the World Series trumped game one of the NBA Finals, and that was with LeBron and the Lakers.
And that's strange. I'll tell you why I say that. Because
that says a lot. What does that say? I didn't even realize that, Rob G.
That's a tremendous stat. I'll tell you what, because as you know, you covered baseball in those major markets. To me, baseball, where the biggest change has been in all these years is that it's gone from a national sport to almost a localized sport. Because if your town is not involved in playoff activity, you really don't care. Where in the NFL,
I don't know. When people say that they don't care, I find that it is different, Andy. And this is what I think is the difference. And then we'll get into the Dodgers and Dave Roberts and what they did in game two. But I think it's different now with attention spans and the way. There used to be a time where you couldn't watch all the games. You know that in Cincinnati. Every game wasn't on television. The only time you saw other league was on the game of the week. Now we can watch every game, every minute. So there's no urgency to it anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like it's like we love ice cream until we start working at the ice cream factory, right? And then we go, I'll get some tomorrow.
And that was an advantage this year because I thought that 60-game schedule gave you some of that urgency. I liked it in a sense because, you know, less is more. And I like that.
Right. All right. But
let's get into the Dodgers, because more is less for them, because they use seven freaking pitchers to lose 6-4. This is not the game of baseball that I remember. Seven pitches to 6-4 loss, okay, against Tampa Bay. And I'm going to tell you a stat here, which I'm not a big stat guy, but in the two games, and now the series is tied at one apiece, 43 strikeouts in a total of 108 outs. That's disgusting. It really is.
No, but that's where we are in the game, unfortunately, with the analytics. And I'm not one of these, hey, you kids, get off my lawn guys. but you can't just do analytics by itself. Billy Beane just left the Oakland A's, right, Andy? And he's the father of that. What have they won? And everybody's following his lead. Please tell me. He was there 30 years. You know how many series they advanced in 30 years? Two! And they made a movie about his life, about them winning 20 games in a row. Not winning a World Series or changing the game where they proved their success. So my point is, the analytics part should be a part of it, but not the entire enchilada.
Right. And to me, I think sometimes it's overload. Launch angle? Are you kidding me? I don't even want to talk about that term, launch angle. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You got to get personnel, and I still like the managers that go with their gut feeling, the lefty-righty combo, righty-lefty, things like that. You got Tony Gosselin. He threw on 2 days rest. He gave out the first inning home run to Brandon Lowe. I mean, come on. And it goes on 1 1/3 innings. Then they bring in Dustin May on 2 days rest. He gives up 4 runs, 1 1/3. Come on. It doesn't make any sense. And now, you know, during these playoffs activities, they didn't have any days off except for today. That's killing the rotation. It's killing their arms.
No doubt about it. This is a whole different situation. But this is a part of this whole thing about not having a starter but an opener, pitching seven guys in a game. I mean, Andy, basically the Dodgers said, okay, we won game one, but here's game two. Seriously, the Tampa Bay. They were able to put their Blake Snell, their ace, out there, right? What are you going to do when you got an ace going and you got a mishmash of six or seven guys pitching?
Well, I mean, Snell was tremendous. Took two hits. He gave it the home run, though, but he had six innings under his belt, and he's pitching. They couldn't touch him. That I understand. But still in all, I mean, I think that Dave Roberts put the Dodgers in a position to lose, and now these pitchers are worn out. They really are. They got that day off now, but what are you going to do? I expected more. I thought the Dodgers would win this series in five games. Maybe they still will. I don't think so right now, though. I don't think so.
Yeah, I had them in six originally, and I just – you got to be real careful, because this next game is a huge game. Bueller's pitching for the Dodgers, so they have who they want on the mound. But this is a big game, and I think people have underestimated Tampa Bay the whole way. And, Andy, I know we don't know many of the players. It's a low-budget team. They play in a terrible stadium. They have a bad fan support. I get all that. I think baseball should admit that they made a mistake with Tampa Bay and move right. The team. I just admit it. Sometimes you don't get it right, and Tampa Bay has never been right. But here's some numbers that tell you that Tampa Bay is in the mix, okay? Tampa Bay against teams over 500 this year, Andy, 21-8. The Dodgers were only 8-5, so they had a big record, the best record in baseball, but they played a lot of teams that were under 500. Tampa Bay doesn't hit that well coming into the World Series. They were batting like 206, 209 as a team. But they get timely hits. The Dodgers were batting 270, and they're, you know, hitting all these home runs. But Tampa has pitching, and most of the time, Andy, in the World Series and the postseason, what is it? It's pitching.
It's always pitching.
Right?
It's always
defense. It's always, and right. Timely hitting. You don't need to win 15-3. You could win 2-1 or 3-1 with a big hit with two outs.
Well, I'm with you right there. But the funny thing is, you could talk about on the field. I'm going to talk about off the field, because I got to believe that Clayton Kershaw and Mookie Betts' salary is more money than half of the Tampa Bay roster's salary. I think I read somewhere that Tampa Bay's pitching staff is something in the neighborhood of $575,000. They're relief corps. They're relievers. I mean, the total salary is like $575, which is amazing, really. And to me, that gives hope to the smaller markets, I would think. Smaller markets that, like the Minnesotas and the Kansas Cities, that they can compete, and they have over the years. But still, in all, I think that you've got a team like the Dodgers. It would be a major disappointment if they fell flat on their face again in the World Series.
No, this is huge for the Dodgers, as we know. This is the third time in 4 years they've been in the World Series. On paper, Andy, they have the best team.
Yes, they do.
Without question, they have the best team on paper. And they need to win. They haven't won since 1988. In fact, the last time they won in 1988, the Lakers also won the NBA championship. And already the Lakers have won, so the Dodgers are trying to do this again. But it's been 32 long years. And I think the Dodgers are out of excuses. I think fans will not accept anything other than a championship. But as I look at it, and I know after game one, it looked like it was easy, right? And they were just going to roll. And then game two came along, and the momentum went away because Snell's a great pitcher for Tampa Bay. And he had a no-hitter, into the sixth inning. Right, that the Dodgers' bats were silent. So this thing is not over. I think game three will be definitely pivotal. I picked the Dodgers in six, but I cannot poo-poo Tampa Bay.
Okay, but I ask you this, as a baseball maven, and you are, is it better for Major League Baseball to have the David and Goliaths together and the younger guy, the also ran, if you will, the Tampa, win the World Series? Is that better for Major League Baseball? You got the Dodgers, 43-17, first place in the NL West, best record in baseball, team batting 118 home runs. They had the best record in the majors in pitching with a 3.02 ERA. Everything was in their favor. Should they lose the World Series, is it better for Major League Baseball?
That's a great question. It could be to show that other teams can win, and you want parity. You don't want a situation where the same teams win all the time. But as far as national or TV ratings, Tampa's just not going to help you, and it's just the way it is. And the NBA Finals had Miami instead of maybe the Lakers and Milwaukee, you know, with a great star. You know, or when the Clippers didn't make it to the Western Conference Finals, did that help hurt ratings? That hurt ratings as well. So it depends on what you're looking at. Are you looking at it from a rating standpoint, or are you looking at it from the sport being healthy?
Standpoint.
Yeah, a competitive standpoint, it would be Tampa, no doubt.
Right. He's Rob Parker. I'm Andy Furman in for Chris Broussard. This is The Odd Couple. I'll tell you what we're rolling on right now. Did Dave Roberts set the Dodgers up to fail when he turned game two into a bullpen game? And is this a must-win for the World Series for those Dodgers? We'll continue the conversation with you next. 877-996-6369. It's The Odd Couple. Andy Furman in for Chris Broussard on Fox. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Wonder whatever became of me. I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. Cincinnati, WKRC. How about that, Andy?
Thank you. Thank you very much. There we go.
That's for you, Andy Furman, on this TV theme song Thursday.
You know, I love you. I do. By the way, Rob Manfred wants this to be a keeper. We'll get to that in just about a minute. The golden tones of Rob Parker, that was he. I'm Andy Furman in for Chris Broussard, and this is The Odd Couple. And, of course, as you know, it's October, and what does it mean? Well, it's Geico-ween, of course. Don't be spooked by high rates on car insurance. Geico is brewing up spellbinding savings that they're crafting just for you. So how much could you save? Get a quote today at Geico.com. All right.
All right.
Baseball. Yes. I love it. You know, let me throw this in your lap because, again, you've seen the change. You've seen the morphing of the game of baseball. World Series Game 2 yesterday, Wednesday night. It was the 49th game of the postseason. And in that game, it was the 24th time a starting pitcher lasted fewer than three innings. I read the obituary the other day of Bob Gibson. May he rest
yes.
in peace. I mean,
unbelievable.
Three innings? Are you kidding? I mean, come on. Those old timers would laugh at this today. They pitch both ends of doubleheaders. I understand the salaries. I understand it's a great investment. You don't want to damage the investment. But, wow, have things changed.
I think if I read correctly, too, in 1967, he pitched three games in the World Series, all complete games.
Yes,
There was nobody in the bullpen better than Bob Gibson. Who are you, right? Who are you putting in? There's nobody to put in.
It amazes me. And now they got trained. I get it. It's a whole different world. And I'm adapting to it. I do. And I think it's a great thing to compare then and now. But still, I mean, come on. Please. Pitch right. counts? Are you kidding?
I got some calls for us, Andy.
Take 877-99
on Fox. Brian in Seattle. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What you got, Brian?
Thanks for having me, guys. I was wondering, with the salary cap, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays, they're just doing great things every year after year after year after year. Wouldn't know the Seattle Mariners going to ever have a chance.
They had a chance. You remember, they had a great team that lost to the Yankees in the playoffs when they had A-Rod and Junior, right?
And like
and Randy. I know. It's been a long time. I hear
they
you.
Went over 100 games that year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was great. What do you got about the Dodgers, Brian?
Well, I think Clayton Kershaw's going to kill.
He's going to what?
He's going to win the next game and the next game after that, game 7.
You know, I hope he does, because I think, you know, talk about, go
Thanks
back to
call.
our first segment today in the first hour, Carson Wentz, who gets criticized. What about Clayton Kershaw? I mean, there's a hex on this guy. He's like the Peyton Manning of baseball, can't win the big games in the postseason.
And he's the pitcher of our generation. I mean, look
right.
at his numbers. I mean, his numbers, regular season, are through the roof. There's no doubt he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He has the lowest ERA, lowest whip of any starter in the live ball era who's thrown over 1,000 innings. That's all you need to know.
Right.
Daniel in Connecticut, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's
hey
up,
guys,
Daniel?
What's up? Love the show.
Thank you. Hey, Daniel, where are you in Connecticut? Where are you?
I'm in Waterbury.
Okay. I know Waterbury very well. You know I went to Southern Connecticut in New Haven, so I know Connecticut.
Yeah, that's nearby. It's right near us.
What you got?
Yeah, I just think that there's no doubt that they're gonna be able to start off the games. Still have Dustin May, Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw still play. Just not going to be able to finish it. Those relievers. It's not going to happen. The reliever position's not designed to play more than a few innings. And right. It's right after each other, one game to the next. I don't think they have it.
Thank you, Daniel, for the call. Andy, the problem when you do these bullpen games is everybody's not going to be on. There's a chance that somebody's going to come in. Right? When you go to six or seven different guys.
Right.
And that's all it takes is for one guy to come in there and not have his best stuff and get knocked around. Remember, he has to face three batters, right? That might be ball game.
And I think there's something to be said about the mindset of a guy who comes in relief. I think some guys come in, they thrive on the fact that there's a tie game with the bases loaded with one out, and there's a different attitude, there's a different adrenaline factor than just coming in as a so-called starter reliever.
No, I agree with that. It has changed so much, and I wonder where it's going. And, you know, like this whole idea, the Yankees played along with that. Do you remember they started game 2? They pitched their 21-year-old kid for one inning, you know, trying to mess with the batting order or the batting lineup for Tampa, and that backfired, right? So I think you got to be careful and not try to be too cute and put guys in there and let them pitch until it's obvious that they don't have it anymore.
Left. Now,
right.
Now you mentioned something. I want to go back a little bit. You said something with the new rule. They got to face three guys. I don't like that. I like managers using strategy. I think there's a great. I know it takes time and they want to speed up the games, but I don't think you should have to go in there and face three guys. I used to love it when a guy would come in there righty 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 lefty vice versa whoever it may be one for one. Now you got to stay for three. And I get the only reason they do that because they want to quote speed up the game. And you know what? The beauty of baseball is that it's timeless. They don't get it. That's why it's beautiful.
I agree. I've never been into that. And when the game gets too long and I'm at the ballpark, Andy, you know what I do? I get up, I leave, and I listen to the rest in the car when I drive home. That's what I do. Barry in New York, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Barry? What you got?
Oh, man. First of all, Rob, do you remember our lunch at the Big Buck Steakhouse in Auburn Hills? I think you owe me $4 for half the onion rings we split that day.
You know what? I probably do. Yes, the Big Buck. And Barry, what a great restaurant that was right on your way to the Palace on, is that Updike Road? What was that?
You got it, my man. It was right between, I was working at Oakland University at the time. It was right between Oakland and the Palace. You had to pass right by
there. I know who this is. This is Barry Neuberger. I know this. He worked at NYU. He worked at Columbia. He worked at every college in the country. I know him. Am I right? Is this Barry Neuberger or what?
Oh, Andy, you know I'm going to call in when you and Rob Parker are on in prime time. You know I'm going to make that call.
God bless you.
Of course it is. And it's great to have both of you on the call at the same time. I miss talking to both of you.
Thank you, buddy. That is great. I'm glad you heard us and chimed in. Yes.
Oh, for sure. And you know, Andy, with the passing of Joe Morgan last week, I'm wondering if you guys have had a chance to talk about the comparison between Jose Altuve and Joe Morgan as leaders, you know, as small guys, but yet as leaders of their teams to great levels of success. Do you see the comparison?
Joe Morgan, part of the great eight. I mean, obviously, I say he's the greatest second baseman ever to play the game.
And think about this. This is what people need to know about the late, great Joe Morgan. He won back-to-back National League MVPs on the big red machine with Pete Rose and Tony Perez and Johnny Bench. That little guy with that little corn cob glove he used to wear, I mean, as big as his hand. Am I right? And his chicken wing batting stance. He was one of the all-time greats, no doubt about it.
And what amazes me, you know, if you go back and say, the greatest second baseman to ever play the game on the same team as the greatest catcher to ever play the game.
And the greatest hitter, one of the great all-time great hit leaders. Yep.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you guys had talked about that. Also, the other thing I want to bring up is watch how baseball is doing this crowd thing for the World Series, because everybody is studying this pretty carefully. All the Major League Baseball teams are looking at this because they can't go without some fans in the stands for next season.
Right.
And it'll be really interesting to see the data that comes out of this. I was talking to a buddy of mine here in New York today, and he said that the way they're doing the spacing, you know, four people at a time, you can do this for baseball because you have ushers who can manage that people sit in the right seats. You can't do it for college football because people are going to migrate to the best seats between the 40-yard lines, and the students are going to all sit together, and that's where you're going to have problems. But in baseball, you have this, you know, little pods of four people all over the place, and if you have the right access to, you know, bathrooms and entry and exit, and all your concessions are going to be, you're never going to stand in line. It's going to be pick up and go.
Yes.
You're going to order your stuff from an app. Mm-hmm. They're going to tell you when it's ready. You come and get it so you don't have to stand in line.
Barry, we appreciate it, man. We got to run. Thank you, man. It's great to hear your voice, man. And that made our day, both me and Andy. Nice.
You got to send him the money you owe him. He said you owe him some money.
He said $4, right? You know I'm good for it, right?
I know. Take a credit. There we go. All right. He's Rob Parker. I'm Andy Frohman. I'm in for Chris Broussard. This is The Odd Couple. We're going to dive deeper into this with our man, J.R. Gamble, the ShadowLeague.com editor, joins us next. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
J.R. Gamble, senior editor of the ShadowLeague.com, joins us momentarily. He is Rob Parker. I'm Andy Frohman. In for Chris Broussard, this is The Odd Couple. And obviously, we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which. To the celebrity hotline, J.R. Gamble, senior editor at theshadowleague.com with Rob Parker and Andy Furman for Chris Broussard. J.R., how are you?
Good, Andy. Good. How are you guys doing tonight, man?
What's
good.
Happening,
I got a quick
man?
Question. I got a quickie for you. You ready? I want to talk about Globe Life Field in Texas. The Dodgers played 10 games there this postseason, 3 games in the NLDS, 7 in the NLCS, and 3 in the regular season, all right? The Tampa Bay Rays have never played at Globe Life Field. They say it's a pitcher's ballpark. The Rays have scored 72% of their runs on home runs this postseason. To me, there's got to be a bit of an advantage.
Yeah, definitely. But I think the way balls are flying out the park in this postseason, I don't think anyone truly has an advantage. Both teams are going to hit their share of homers. And when you get to a situation like this, I really believe, Andy, you have to throw out the numbers and go with, you know, the hot hand and who has more guys that could potentially be hot. And that's the Dodgers, no matter what field you're playing on.
Now, JR, after they won game one, a lot of people got a little excited ahead of themselves, premature, sure. Like it's going to be a cakewalk. And Tampa Bay came back in game two, punched the Dodgers in the mouth, right? We're up 3-0, had their ace on the mound. I mean, I don't think this series is a runaway like some people are painting it, despite the Dodgers clearly having the best roster.
Exactly. I picked the series to go seven games, Robin, Andy, and, you know, basically just for the fact that this is the first World Series featuring two number one seeds since 2013. That should tell you a lot of what you need to know. What happened definitely should have happened. You know, through the two games, both these teams are hitting 21 runs, 47 base runners, 8, you know, home runs. But the Dodgers are slugging 80 points higher, and I think as it plays out over seven games, they will end up victorious, but this is going to be close. The Rays are a scrappy team. They have great pitching. They have timely hitting, good managing, and they come with a package that they've proven that they're very hard to beat, no matter what team they're across from.
J.R. Gamble, the senior editor at theshadowleague.com, to talk about Nick Anderson. I think he's going to be the trump card in this series. Will he go back to his postseason woes? He was scored on 5 times in 7 appearances, and the Rays also have Peter Fairbanks and Diego Castillo, but I think Nick Anderson is the key right there. If, in fact, he fails back as to where he was, I think the Dodgers will win.
Well, in a shortened season, you know, you had your ups and downs. I think Nick Anderson was probably the best reliever in baseball before, like, mm-hmm. a month ago, before October hit, and then everything kind of fell apart. So if he can get back in a groove, of course, yes, he's definitely the wild card because he is the best reliever, one of the best in baseball. And if he's not reliable, then that's just one more advantage for the Dodgers, who have more advantages to begin with. So we definitely need him. The Rays need him back at 100%, and they need him being effective and not getting beat around the park, definitely.
We talk a lot about Clayton Kershaw's legacy, and rightfully so, because he hasn't performed that well in the postseason, and not nearly. I mean, he's given up 2 more earned runs in the postseason than during the regular season. Mm-hmm. But he's not the only one on the hook here. If somehow, some way, the Dodgers don't win this, wouldn't Dave Roberts be, you know, in trouble as well? Because this would be 3 World Series in 4 years, and the Dodgers, to me, would become the MLB's Buffalo Bills if they don't win.
Yeah, easy to say. Only difference is Marv Levy didn't have to report to the guys in the, you know, office when he was going to go for a 4th-and-1 or when he was going to try a receiver that's not his main receiver. You know, Dave Roberts, the Aaron Boones, these guys, they function through baseball, but they also have to listen to the numbers, the formula that they use in certain situations. It's not 100% gut with them. And yes,
no, you know what? I agree with that, but my only problem is you can say that, but they were good enough by doing that and using the front office to get to 3 World Series. Do you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So if you're going to give Dave Roberts credit for going to the World Series and you're telling me that other guys are pulling the strings, then it can't be just one way. If they win, it's Dave Roberts. If they lose, it's the front office.
Hey, there's two ways to look at it. You know, if you look at it like Dave Roberts has these great teams, they've assembled, Magic and the crew have assembled these great teams for him, and he hasn't had the acumen or the wherewithal to be able to pull them across the finish line. Or you can say that Dave Roberts is a victim of the system, and Dave Roberts hasn't been able to show the best of Dave Roberts as a tactical manager. So I don't know if you can fire somebody that's been to the World Series 3 times in the last 4 years. I don't know if you'll upgrade, because baseball's a strange sport. I think the best thing for Dave Roberts would be to just close the deal this year so he doesn't have to worry about that, because that opens up a whole nother can of worms.
J.R. Gamble, this got to be a question mark for Tampa Bay and their fans there. Randy Arozarena, he won 1-for-6, 3 walks, a strikeout in these 2 ball games. Is it him, or are the Dodgers doing something special to get him out?
Well, I know they're not throwing him any fastballs. They're throwing him a healthy dose of sliders, and that's what you do to young hitters who feast on fastball. So you knew this was going to come. He wasn't going to hit 600 forever. He wasn't going to smash records or break records forever. He had the advantage of being a rookie, opposing teams not having the time to really study him, study his weaknesses. But now that we're in the playoffs, teams are studying him. They're watching a whole lot of film on him. And I didn't expect him to keep up the pace that he had before, particularly against the Dodgers. So 1-for-6 with 3 walks is not terrible, but his bat was inevitably, Andy, going to slow down. And it might pick back up again. But realistically, you know, we couldn't expect him to be Babe Ruth every single game.
JR, I think here's the reason why putting the runner on second base in extra innings to try to get the game over earlier shouldn't stick around, because nobody wants it in the playoffs or World Series, because your worst nightmare would be Game 7 of a World Series in the 10th inning, and the Diamond and the Tampa Bay Rays, they get to put a man on second base. They bunt them over to third, and somebody hits a sacrifice fly, and that's how the World Series ends. So if you can't do it in the playoffs, right, and the World Series, you shouldn't do it in the regular season. You agree or disagree with that?
The scenario you just described, actually, Rob, that's baseball. It's called small ball. I know you probably forgot about.
But you're putting a man on second base to start the inning. And that's the problem, is that the guy didn't hit his way on, is that you're putting the winning run at second base in a World Series game. People would die if that's the way the World Series ended in a Game 7.
I guess, but I think personally, Rob, you just don't like it. Baseball's baseball, and if that's what decides the game, that's what decides the game. I have better advice for the teams. Don't let it get to that.
But wait a minute, Andy, where are you on that? You're cool
JR,
with that?
I can't let you get away with that. I want my partner right here. That's creative. I mean, you're giving a guy a running position, in run scoring position. You're getting me crazy here, JR. It's not part of the game. It's just kind of like getting it over with faster. I don't care if they play 17 innings. Play 17 innings in the seventh game of the World Series, but don't beat me by giving a guy on second, bunt him over to third, sacrifice fly, game over. That's ridiculous. Playing 162 games for that? That's nuts. That's crazy.
Let me ask you. I'll ask you these guys. You guys, a question. Did we play 162 games this season? No.
No. But they had the rule during the regular season.
Right. And my saying is, if the rule is a good rule, it should be in the playoffs and World Series. Is my point. They know it's hokey. That's right. Why they won't put it in the World Series. Am I right?
Yes, you are. You
Thank
are right
you.
About
Thank
that.
Thank you, JR.
It was a good element for a 60-game COVID season, but it has no place in a traditional baseball game or season. Yes, you guys are definitely correct with that.
Now,
JR,
I feel good about
you
having
over.
You on.
You came
thank
on. There you.
You
go. JR, thank you so much. There we go. Give us your Twitter account so we can follow you on Twitter. What is it?
Yeah, at Fanalyst1, at FanalyST1. And you can also follow me on Instagram, at TheGambler24, and of course the Shadow League, at the Shadow League on Twitter and Instagram, where most of my commentary and sports stuff is located.
Now wait a minute, Andy. Me and you met in 1991, and JR, wow. What year did we meet?
Well, we met in 1995, going into 1996. Yes, but I had known about the legend of Rob Parker in the streets of Queens for years before that.
Everybody does. Friend. Everybody does.
My goodness.
He's a legend. He's the legend.
Two guys working
JR,
with
thank
guys
you.
I love. Thank you.
Stay safe, JR. Stay safe, my friend. There we go. Hey, I've got a big-time bone to pick on my guy Rob Parker regarding a certain NFL quarterback. We'll get into that next. It's The Odd Couple with Andy Furman and for Chris Broussard on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We'll get into it in just about a minute, about 12 minutes before the top of the hour. He's Rob Parker. I'm Andy Furman in for Chris Broussard on The Odd Couple, and we are coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And Mr. Parker, this is a situation now that I guess every once in a while we we face, but we're not in sports. I'm talking about what happened with Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Miami Dolphins. He knew the day was going to come that Tua was going to take his job. With the day they drafted him, he probably knew. But what got me was the quote that I read. He said, quote, "I was shocked by it," because he's not going to start in the next game. But here's the key. It definitely caught me off guard. How in the hell can Brian Flores, the coach, not come up to him and tell him? Why does he have to find out through an announcement through the media? That, to me, galls me. That would be like you or I coming into the studio and some schmuck comes in off the street and says, "Oh, well, I forgot. I'm doing the show now. You're gone." I mean, how do you do that?
No, I agree with you from that standpoint that the coach should, whenever a change is going to be made, should address that player and say it to their face. So I agree with you, Andy. Right. But this whole idea that wowsy, wowsy, woo, woo, and oh my God, they hurt me and I didn't know what was happening.
Wowsy, wowsy, woo, woo.
He knew what was happening. You just said it. When they drafted Tua in the first round, he's going to be the franchise quarterback. And Fitzpatrick is 38 years old. He's been on 8 teams. And he plays well for a handful of games, Andy, and then he turns into Fitzpumpkin, and he turns into a pumpkin, and he's terrible. So this whole notion that they're 3-3 and they beat the Jets, and he can't believe that he's not going to start, and why would they make this change now? Come on, man. I think that's disingenuous.
I think that he's basically pouring out his heart that he wanted to continue starting. He knew the time would come, but I think if he was told prior to, it would have been less of a shock. And look, I understand they're 3-3, and I understand also he has something like a 79.6 quarterback rating, which is pretty darn good. But, you know, who have they beaten? They got their clocks cleaned at New England. They lost to Buffalo. They finally beat Jacksonville, but everybody beats Jacksonville. They lost to Seattle, right? And they beat up a bad San Francisco team that was injured.
And they beat up a bad Jets team.
You could beat the Jets 10-11. I mean, come on. Really? So it's what's the big whoop?
That's what I'm saying. It's not like they just beat Seattle and now they beat the three best teams in the league, right? That were all undefeated, and Kansas City or whatever, and then they made the change. But this was a plan that when Tua was healthy, coming off a bye week, Andy, right? This is the right time. It gives the kid 2 weeks to prepare for his debut, right? It's all set up.
Okay, but
this shouldn't have been a surprise. Right. I'm with you on.
It's not a surprise. Right. They drafted a quarterback. He's going to be your replacement. You're 37 years old. Get on with your life's work. But the bigger problem is this. He's got a system going with some of the guys in the locker room. I'm sure there's some chemistry there. I think that's going to be upset. I mean, half the guys are going to say, stick with Fitz. A lot of guys are going to say, give Tua a chance. I think it breaks up the momentum. I don't know what kind of momentum you have on a 3-3 team that really isn't that good, but still, in all, it's kind of like firing a coach in midstream. When you fire a coach in the NFL in midstream, you might as well put up the white flag and say the season's over. It's gone.
Yeah, but Tua is a special player who, of course, has to prove it on the NFL level, but it's not like you know, Fitzpatrick has been the Miami Dolphins quarterback and they won a Super Bowl or anything. It hasn't been like that. He's just been a journeyman. That's all he is. Right. And you're not going to win anything with him. They're wasted snaps, wasted downs, wasted games. I'm sorry, Andy. They are. You're not going anywhere with Fitzpatrick.
But I'm a big fan because, and you should be too, because he's one of us. He went to an Ivy League school. He went to Harvard. And I love that because there aren't many great players. I say he's great. He's had a great career, like what, 17 years? He's made oodles of money. He's had some shining moments. Never really won the big brass ring. But still in all, he's hung around for all that time and he's made a lot of money. I'm happy
for
him.
All right, so he should be happy. And you know what? When the kid comes in, teach him everything you know. You don't have to go on the record and go, "I got fired yesterday, and you know what was worse? I had to be on Zoom and listen to the guy who fired me," talking about the coach, Flores, right. "And then I also have to sit in the room with the guy who essentially is replacing me and who I was fired for 4 hours. What is that, Andy?
But that could have all
been called football.
But that all could have been erased if, in fact, Brian Flores said, "Look, when we get to the bye week, that's it for you. We're going with Tua." That's all he had to say. And then all of a sudden, Ryan Fitzpatrick, A, wouldn't have been shocked, wouldn't have been whining and crying and basically eating his heart out by saying, "I'm depressed." And all. Look, that's all he had to do. I think this is all on Brian Flores more than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I think Ryan Fitzpatrick knew what was coming, and be a man about it. You're 38, you're a journeyman, and accept your role if you want to stick around. Period.
Well, if he should have been upset, he should have been upset on draft day when they drafted Tua. Really? And look, you know it's going to be fizzed out anyway with him because that's the way he is. He's Ryan Fitzmagic, and then you see Ryan Fitzpumpkin, like you say. I love it. Hey, we've got one more big hour to go. Don't go anywhere. We won't let you. Right here on Fox.